Morning, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to be looking at verses 18 through 26. Matthew 9, verses 18 through 26. And we're going to be talking about two people that are Jesus performs a miracle on. One is a woman and one is a girl. And what's interesting is Jesus' timing. It sounds somewhat similar to Lazarus. Remember whenever they told Jesus, hey, Lazarus is dead. Is he going to get over here? Or he's about to die. You can get over here. So by the time Jesus makes it there, guess what happens? Lazarus is dead. And Mary is just furious. Like, if you would have been here earlier, guess what? He would still be alive. So God's timing. Is God's timing pretty good? Does he know what's, does he understand what's urgent, what's not? And I think he does. And the challenge is anybody in here God? None of us are. So while even though he's given us the word, his word, the Bible, which helps us to know him, to understand his ways and his heart and all that, do we know exactly how God is going to work in our life? We don't. Is that unsettling? No. Can it be unsettling? It can be very unsettling when we're dealing with the unknown, the future. And whenever we're unsettled, if you were to gauge your confidence, pretty low, right? When the future we're unsettled, our confidence was pretty low. Because we don't know how things are gonna work out. Does it have to be that way? You know, when it comes to investment world, people who act real confident, they think they have some special knowledge about the future, how the markets are going to do. And some politicians might, right? When we know what's going to happen, we feel more confident. We know what to do. We know how to prepare. You know, we can say, no, this is all going to work out. But when we don't have that information, it's hard. And what's pretty cool here is that here, Jesus, he tells the woman that has an issue of bleeding for years. He basically said, be of good cheer. You know what that idea of good cheer means? It's be confident. It's the idea of being courageous. This isn't Jesus, consoling her, saying, oh, no, it's okay, it's going to be all right. That's not the tone at all. This is Jesus saying, hey, be confident. And I wonder, does confidence and faith have a relationship? I think so. I think the stronger our faith is, guess what's going to happen to our confidence? The stronger. Now, does that mean we know what's going to happen? No, right? Faith is not saying, yeah, I know that tomorrow this is going to happen, so-and-so is going to come. It's not like we have that information. But faith, the stronger our faith is, the greater our confidence is. Is that the only place our confidence can be placed in? Confidence can be placed in a lot of different places, right? Sometimes our confidence is based upon maybe our financial position, our jobs, or the network, our ability. It could be placed in a lot of things, your education. But do all of those things guarantee the future? See, that I think that's part of the problem with, I'm going to say, the modern world. I benefit from the modern world, right? Haven't you benefited from the modern world? Yeah, we all have, right? We got cars. Right? Who has like mirror defrosters and seat warmers and seat air conditioners and steering wheel warmers? It's crazy they have all those things now, depending on what year you have. You know, coming over the in a covered wagon, it would be kind of nice to have a heated covered wagon, right? I have some air conditioning. When I visit my parents, my dad told me that our ancestors came over on the Mayflower. I thought it was kind of cool. And so you think about it, how would sailing across the Atlantic be back then compared to nowadays? Way worse, right? Then you think about the people who came over long before them, some of the Vikings. And granted, those are different folk. Okay, Vikings are different folk. They're used to stuff like that, you know, they're rough. But you think about it, we have benefited a lot from modern life. You know, the security that we have is pretty amazing. But the problem comes in as those things get removed, what happens to our confidence? We got to be careful, right? We have to be careful that our hope is in the Lord, right? Because who knows exactly what's going to happen tomorrow? The Lord is, right? He knows. And we can be confident in tomorrow. Not because we know what's going to happen, but we know who our faith is in. This is living faith. And it's hard. But if you exercise it, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be a joy and peace that passes all understanding. You'll be able to say what David said in Psalm 23, right? Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You're with me. It's like he had learned that throughout all the challenges that he had faced, that he does not have to be afraid. He can be confident, not arrogant. There's a difference between being arrogant and confident, right? There is a big difference. God wants us to be confident. And I think what we're going to see here this morning is that our faith has a relationship to our confidence. Where you place that is going to dictate, you know, how strong your confidence is. So let's. Lord, we thank you for this day and this time. I just pray, Lord, that you would be with us as we spend time in your word. We ask, Father, that your spirit would help us understand and to see, and that we would gain the things that you want us to learn, and that you would minister to us this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we do ask, Father, that your spirit would work in us. Convict us, open our eyes, help us to see. I pray, Lord, that we would all humble ourselves before you, and that we would take what you have for us this morning, and that we would do what you say. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so in Matthew chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 18. This is right after the disciples of John came to Jesus and saying, hey, how come your folk aren't washing or fasting all this stuff? Then Jesus began to give some teachings, and basically he told them, guys, it's not appropriate to fast right now. Why? The king's right? Jesus. So John, the disciples, why are you fasting? As if it's a time of mourning or sorrow when the king's here. In other words, there's a time and place for fasting. And in, as we pick up in verse 18, there's a little shift in scene. And it says, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him. So here, as Jesus is talking to the disciples of John and helping them understand that he is here, and that there's going to come a time that
he is going away, right? And we talked a little bit last week about Jesus uses the imagery of a Jewish wedding and the different practices and customs. And what I think I'm going to do some research, and then once I'm all done, I think every Sunday morning I'll do like a five short little kind of expose of the different elements of a Jewish marriage ceremony and pre and post ceremony, all that kind of stuff. But anyways, so Jesus identifies himself as the bridegroom, right? And that he is going to be going away, right? And so as he's telling him that, this ruler comes to him. The other gospels call this ruler Jairus. And he's a ruler in his synagogue. Okay, so he is a pretty devout Jew. And here he is doing what? Coming to Jesus. Why? He had a problem, right? And he knew that Jesus could solve the problem. So here it says, a certain ruler came and worshiped him. This idea of worship, I think sometimes nowadays in our modern Christian culture, worship, we always think of music. You can't have worship without music. That's not true, okay? Can you worship with music? Can you worship without music? Okay, music doesn't describe worship completely. And what's great about the word worship, and especially here, is this idea of bowing. Okay, it's this idea of humbling yourself. We should be worshiping all the time. We're submitting ourselves to worship. I'll never forget, when we were growing up, we went to Disneyland and we were right around the Tom Sawyer Island, whatever it's called now. But anyway, so we're right around going around that, and there's this big party taking a picture. You know, and something that they all turned about to me. It was cool. Different. I've never seen it before. So it's just a sign of, you know, respect and our thinking. I wonder how much time do we take bow before the Lord, say thank you. To acknowledge that, guess what? I am not king of the universe, but you are. There is something very powerful and healthy about remembering who we are. And sometimes we forget that. You know why? We're surrounded with people. It's really easy to get distracted. We begin playing the comparison game, right? You know, so-and-so, and look at so-and-so. And what's interesting, I think sometimes we can probably relate with the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees, no matter what good happened, the Pharisees seemed to be so critical of what Jesus said and did. He was doing good things. Even doing good things. The Pharisees found something to be critical of. Have you ever found yourself being overly critical? Amazing. Because the focus is on people. And when we kind of forget about God. It's not like we intellectually forget about God, right? But the thoughts that we have, you know, repeatedly, the dialogue that goes in our minds, you know, over and over and over again. We need to listen to that, right? Because that gives us a whole lot of insight of where we're at. And sometimes we never allow God to be part of that equation. So we become overly critical. And that prevents us from bowing. This ruler came. What did he do to Jesus? It says he worshiped him. This idea of humbling himself before him. We need to do that more often, right? It's good medicine for us. It keeps our head and our heart thinking and working right. And so he comes and he says, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Was there any question in his mind what Jesus could do? No. All you got to do is come over here, lay your hand on her, and guess what? She's going to live. You know what's interesting? If she was, you know, by the time Jesus gets there, she's dead. You know what's interesting? Is it okay for a Jew to touch a dead body? No. Their expectations, right? And there are some laws behind some of this stuff. But a lot of those expectations. One of the reasons the Pharisees hated Jesus so much is because he just blew up all their expectations, right? Hey, it's Tuesday. You're supposed to wear blue. Guess what Jesus wears? Green. Orange. It's like, well, aren't you doing orange? You know, it's like, and it's not like Jesus is just being obstinate, right? There's some people that just like to be obstinate. There's some people that just like to be contrary, right? It's really a game of war, right? It's what it is. Just do that because you say that. That's not Jesus at all. But they all have these expectations, and Jesus always messed with them because their expectations were built incorrect. And here Jesus coming, right, to fix things. And here this ruler, you know, more like of the synagogue, he comes and says, Jesus, all you have to do is come and lay your hand on her. And guess what? She shall live. Do you have that kind of faith in God? That all God has to do is to show up. It's going to be okay. But what's amazing, as we saw in chapter 8, there's a lot of if it's your will. See, the fact that they were submissive to Jesus, and if it's your will be done. And Jesus always said, of course, I'm willing. And he goes and does it. But if Jesus would have said, I can't. The fact that they submitted themselves to him, I think they were fully ready to embrace whatever he said. Can faith move mountains? That's what Jesus says. Does that mean that whatever mountain we want moved, will it be moved? Because that's what we want? Not necessarily. The closer we are to the Lord, the more he's going to direct us and we're going to be more in tune with him. But just because we want it doesn't mean we always get it. And I think that's something you always have to remember with these miracles. But let us never forget, does Jesus care? Oh, yes. Does he care about you? Yeah. So the situation that you may find yourself in, it could be very undesirable. You can say, God, this was not in the bucket list. Okay. This was not part of the plan. That's what we need to do. Humble yourself before him, right? That's what the Lord's going to do. Do something. Confidence in God is based upon his power, right? Based upon his love and his ability to be everywhere and do it. You've ever seen any of the movies that portray a God as a human person? Yeah. Was it Bruce Almighty? Is that it? And it's all about emails, you know, you get all these email requests, and so he says, reply all, yes. It just went bad. And we think sometimes that if God would just do what we said, everything would just be perfect. Sometimes we do, and we get wrong with those things. As an example that Jennifer shared, you know, what she shared about this past week, you know, about the sin that she committed. You know, we have to dishonor the Lord. Aware of those things, right? Then it's just an action, right? It's also an internal thing, too. It's into the heart. That's what the Sermon on the Mount is all about, right? It's not just having a clean cup on the outside, but what? Having a clean cup on the inside. Remember when Jesus, before he had that Lord's Supper with his disciples,
I got to wash your feet. And guess what Peter says? Nuh-uh, ain't going to do it. Right? Not going to happen. And guess what Jesus says? Well, if you're not, then you're going to have nothing to do with me or something like that. And you're like, oh, man, okay, well, then do the whole thing. And Jesus says something that's interesting. And basically, every now and then, you need to get in other words, when Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world, what did he do? He paid for all the sin, right? So those that accepted him, guess what? They've accepted the sacrifice, and guess what they are? They're completely forgiven, right? And declared righteous. Does that mean that we no longer sin? No. It means that we're still going to sin because we're still in this body. And so what do we do with the sin? We confess it, right? And you repent. You do it over and over again, right? As much as needed. But Peter realized something that day. Yeah, he may be good on the outside. What kind of judgment God does? He looks deeper. Remember Samuel? God told Samuel, hey, Samuel, don't worry. Man, God's people can't see what God sees. Man sees the outward. But what does God see? Let's remember that, right? So our focus should not be just the sins of what we do, but the sins of the heart. Because it's those things that prevent us from being like this ruler that comes and bows to Jesus and worships. It's the sins of the heart that prevent us from really worshiping. Let's be careful and let's be attentive to that. And so in verse 19, it says, and Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And verse 20, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came and beheld him and touched the hem of his garment. So here we see it's almost like an interruption. Right here, Jesus is going down to help out this ruler's daughter. And guess what happens? Commercial break, right? And so this commercial break, what's going on? So we see this lady, for 12 years, she had an issue of some kind of internal bleeding. And she knew that all she had to do was what? Touch the hem of his garment. That's all she had to do. And guess what would happen? That's faith, right? She knew the power of Jesus, just as this ruler knew the power of Jesus. And in verse 21 says, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. I love this word whole. The idea of being complete. Do you know what makes us complete? It's really faith. Trusting in the Lord. That's not just for salvation, right? It's also living faith. That, you know what, God, you got this. I don't know how we're going to get through it. I can see lots of problems. All the pitfalls, all the shortcomings. Have you ever noticed, ever looked at your life and said, you know what, I am really inadequate to take care of the things I need to take care of. Have you ever felt that way? I hope so, because in reality, are we fully adequate to take care of everything? Oh, man. This idea of being complete, it's found in building that relationship with the Lord, with trusting him, knowing that you know what's going to be okay. You remember the story of Abraham? There was a time where he was going to go get his nephew back, right? Lot. So some kings come to Abraham, say, Abraham, go and get rid of these people. And because Lot was taken away, so he's going over there. Sometimes we kind of overlook the fact that kings came to Abraham. You know what platform that puts Abraham in? He wasn't just a shepherd. Okay. The fact that kings came to him, he is talking, you're talking about like an equivalent of a king.
Abraham was a big wig. But anyway, so he goes, he defeats those kings that were causing lots of problems. He comes back with Lot. And this one king wanted to come and give Abraham a lot of money for all this service. And you know what Abraham said? No. He didn't want him to think that king was going to make him rich. He didn't want to be in debt to that guy. You know, afterwards, we see an interaction that Abraham has with God. You know what that interaction is? God telling Abraham not to be afraid. And what's interesting is that God told Abraham this. He said, I am your great reward. Do you understand the reward it is to have the Lord? That relationship is far greater than anything else. Sometimes, though, it's kind of like you go through a rummage sale and all you see is garbage. And somebody else comes over there and says, oh, you know, there's no garbage, right? There's something over here that's pretty valuable and they don't know it. Sometimes it takes us to learn how to see value. Because I think sin really does mess up our value judgments, right? I think it does. And so here we see this lady knew that all she had to do was touch the hem of Jesus' garment that he would be healed. She, more importantly, that she would be made complete. You know, it's interesting. What does it take for you to feel complete? To feel satisfied? To be content? Did you know the missing element that we almost always forget? It's the Lord. We need to make him part of our life. And we need to understand that changing the situation doesn't necessarily make us complete. Is that saying the grass is always greener where? Have you found that to be true? See, the problem is on the other side, we see what we don't have, right? And not everything that we don't have, just a couple. And we get so stuck on those few things. Then when we get over there, we realize, you know what? I didn't realize all that I did have. This idea of complete. God knows exactly what we need to build our confidence, to make us complete. And a big chunk of that is faith. In verse 22, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And that's why I said earlier, this idea of good comfort, this is not saying, oh, it's okay, everything's going to be good. This is not, he says, hey, be confident. Be courageous. Your faith has done this. Now, it's interesting. T5, if you just touch his hem, then it'll be okay. And get what Jesus is doing. He is redirecting her. In other words, she had a little bit, her theology was a little messed up with her. Right? And then here Jesus correcting her theology. Her faith was dead on. But oh, it's not my garment that's doing this. Right? It's her faith. Not that her work of trying to touch something that belongs to Jesus. No. She came to Jesus. Right? And it was the faith that made her whole. So for you, what's the application? Do you feel like you're missing out on something? Let me tell you something. It's probably faith. Having confidence in God. Can you be confident in the Lord? It's easy to say that here, right? When you're walking the valley of the shadow of death and everything is going wrong, that's when you need it the most. But remember, God's got you. Right? Does he have plans for you? He does. Are they bad plans? Well, they're good plans, right? We're not his little voodoo dolls, right? Or he takes a little pin and he's got jabs us around. You know, God doesn't take pleasure in those things. Right? He takes pleasure in us. We're going to get to it
But don't you take pleasure in giving good things to your kids? Isn't there pleasure in doing that?
What more does God? Is God selfish?
We're selfish.
Man, if God being completely unselfish,
how much more does he want to do good things for us? And even if something were to cost us in this life, do you think he has the ability to bless us?
Absolutely.
So let's trust him. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Verse 23, and when Jesus came into the ruler's house, guess what happened? And saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. This is a different custom, right?
I was able to go down to Papua New Guinea years ago, and there was a death not too far where I was staying. And there was a lady out there that she was just wailing like all day long. And I began to realize part of their custom over there was to do that. That was part of what was normal. Well, in Jewish society, guess what was normal? Actually, if someone were to pass away, you had to hire a couple minstrels to come and play, and then also some wailers. People would cry. That was their custom. I don't get it, but that's what they did.
And so the fact that Jesus made it to this ruler's house and this was taking place, guess what we know has happened? Now they're dead. So, she's dead, it's done. What if she didn't mess, if Jesus didn't mess with that woman? I think he could have got there a little bit sooner. You know, sometimes we get so stuck in what we have to do with any interruption, we just ignore. I wonder if sometimes we need to pay attention to those interactions a little bit more. You think, well, maybe God's doing something. Have you ever said that? If your plan is not working out, no matter what you do, it's probably a good thing. Maybe that's a real story that you're just flat out ignoring. Sometimes those interruptions are like God appointments where God does some pretty amazing things. We need to just stop. We're going to get to a verse that essentially says that when it comes to disciples. Harvest, food, plentiful. People don't notice. You don't see it. You don't take the time.
And so, as we continue reading, verse 24 says, and he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. What did he just tell them? All these people who are paid to do this stuff. You're not going to pay for a funeral, right? All the flowers, all that stuff, unless the person's really dead, right? That's a little bit premature. Well, you might send them to the hospital or the home, you know, do that. But so it's like as if the flowers have been sent to the mortuary. You know the person has passed. And here Jesus is saying, guess what? What do you think you're going to say to that? Hello, you're kind of weird. You're stupid, right? Wouldn't you say that? We were there. We've been here. Here comes this guy walking in like he knows what he's talking about. He does. But they didn't know that. What does he say? She's sleeping. And what do? They laughed, right? Him to scorn. In other words, they weren't just like, oh, you're just giving us a hard time. No, they were mocking him. As if he was an idiot. He's stupid. You don't know what you're talking about. Have you ever been in that situation before?
Where somebody's come along, someone's name, they made a judgment or they said something. You think, oh, you're an idiot. You have no clue what you're talking about. So you found out, oh, they were right. Ever been in that situation? Well, that's the situation that's going on right here.
It's good for us to be quick to
listen, right? Slow to speak. Sometimes we're way too quick to talk and not quick enough to listen. So verse 25, but when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that world. If you look at the Bible, you find, you know, there are some parts of the Bible, there are like tons of miracles. And other times there's like nothing. And then there are like tons of miracles. We see that with Moses. Aren't there a lot of amazing things happened during Moses' lifetime? A lot of things. Abraham, you know, the ram was a pretty big deal, right? When he got to kill Isaac, and all of a sudden the ram came, and that, to me, that's pretty big deal. But Moses, a lot of things were going on. Elijah, a lot of things were going on. And with Jesus, a lot of things were going on. Notice the similarities. It's just pointing out that this guy, this Jesus of Nazareth, isn't just some dude coming along. He's doing things. He's on the level. So what? Big deal, right? It is a big deal. Do a Jew, you think they would revere Moses? Would they revere Elijah and Elijah? Did we see Jesus do similar things? You know what that should have done for all of Israel? All of Israel should have said what Nicodemus said. No man can do these things. We're seeing Jesus perform all of these miracles. Here is God. Here is our King. And what is Matthew all about? It is the gospel to the Jews, right? It's to help them to understand and to see who Jesus is. And who is he? Here we see he's the giver of life. Do you believe he can give you life? Sometimes we think of life as, you know, just spiritual life. You know, when we're saved, when we ask Jesus Christ to save us, we always limit life to that. Now, when we ask Jesus Christ to save us, what happens? We are spiritually made alive, right? Read Ephesians chapter 2. That's a wonderful thing, right? Because no longer are we separated from God, but yet look, we're part of the community. That's a huge thing, right? It's important. For those who have accepted him and who have been spiritually made alive, this idea of wholeness, just because Jesus has saved us, doesn't mean we're benefiting from it. And how we benefit from it? You start trusting him and you start growing in him. We'll begin to have confidence that, you know what? Jesus can take care of all my problems. So if he has to take care of some problems, guess what that means? God can't fix it? Maybe this is part of his will. What is his purpose of his will? It's to glorify him, right? And as a disciple, is to promote Jesus. And you look here, what happened? The disciples saw this. The ruler saw this. All of the minstrels saw this. And guess where this new news spread? All over the place. Do we see this world in a world that there's a spiritual battle going on? And sometimes we fall prey to it because our confidence in our Lord diminishes. Let's be careful there, right? There may be things going on in your life that you don't like. They may have been around so long that you think it's your brother. It's become a family member. It's been around so long. It doesn't mean that God can't fix things. If God hasn't changed something, guess what he's probably trying to change? Yeah. He's trying to change us. After all, who's the potter and who's the clay? Last time I checked, it wasn't me. What we're seeing time and time again here in Matthew chapter 8, Matthew chapter 9, the people that have the knowledge were messing stuff up. You think like these obscure people, they understood exactly who Jesus was and what he could do. Why do you think his disciples were there? Aren't they going to know that Jesus has the power to raise somebody from the dead? Do you think this has any benefit for Peter? To get him to understand that there's more to this life than he can see? And I wonder if this ever came to Peter's mind after Jesus ascended, or after Jesus crucified and thrown on the temple. Did it ever click in his head? Jesus raised Lazarus. Jesus raised this little girl. And Jesus raised himself. Said he would. Where's your faith? Remember the disciples on the road, on the boat heading over to the cross to see Galilee? They're all freaking out. What did Jesus tell them? The quality of our life. Are you trusting Jesus? Are you working hard and allowing him to be true, not yourself? And what that means is, Lord, your will be done. That's what he wants. May we trust him through it. Did the disciples make it across the Sea of Galilee? Do you think you can get across the Sea of Galilee in the middle of the storm? So, be confident. The Lord is able to deliver you, right? Well, what about death? Well, is there life after death? When we die, is it over? No. It's going to be perfect. I don't know what that's going to be like. It is perfect. No, it's perfect. It's only good. So, this woman, this dad, had faith. And Jesus said, it's faith that will make you whole. Are you freaked out? Are you tired? Or whatever it is that you're lacking. How do you fill that void? Because it's going to be trusting the Lord. He's going to do a work in you. Something is going to be newsworthy. Isn't that cool? Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this day. May I ask, Father, that you would help us increase our faith, where we don't put enough confidence in your abilities. And too often, Father, our view is simply what we can do and about what others can do. Lord, forgive us of that sin. It's not wise. Help us, Lord, to acknowledge you in our life. And understand, Father, that you are the missing variable that will bring us joy and peace and comfort. That is the source of our confidence. It's not in ourself. It's not our understanding, our true identity, or our true whatever. No, it comes from you. So, Father, help us to stop placing our faith in things. Help us, Lord, to have the right relationship with things. And help us, Lord, to put our faith, our hope, our trust in you, knowing that you are a good Father. You have a wonderful plan for us that we can trust.
And as there are times that we can't figure it all out, Lord, help us just to be still and know that you are King. You can raise the dead. You can heal sickness. You can change the weather. You can cast out demons. There is nothing too hard for you. Forgive us of our little things. And help us with love. I pray, Lord, you be with our Sunday school time. And here shortly, we with the teachers, and we just thank you, Father, for the time that we get to spend together, being able to be in dialogue, and that we can ask questions, and spend time discussing your word. We ask your blessings upon our Sunday school, and we just thank you for that. And I just pray that you would cause us to remember your word, that we hide it in our heart. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.